Start over.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So grab a beer and sing our cheer for the ocean's best variety show.
Yo ho, yo ho, it's Pirate Life Radio. So hoist your sails and swing your rails. It's time for Pirate Life Radio.
Felt all right.
Yo ho ho mateys, and welcome to episode number 2 of Pirate Life Radio. I'm your host Josh Wallace,
and I'm your other host Kyle Gritchen.
We have an awesome second episode lined up for you guys, but before we get into that, we just want to say thank you to everyone who checked out episode number 1 of Pirate Life Radio.
Anybody who gave us feedback, you guys are really helping us out, helping us to make sure that Pirate Life Radio only gets better. So big thanks to all y'all.
Yep. So tonight we are going to showcase two bands from right here in Calgary. We're going to talk about Torches to Triggers.
We're also going to showcase some tunes from Man Cub.
And after that, we are going to have a conversation with the ladies from the Deer Kills from Red Deer, Alberta.
They've got a tour coming up, so we're going to talk about that. Talk about they're coming up on their 2-year bandiversary. We're going to get the Deer Kills story for you guys.
Yeah, we also want to just quickly plug a show some of our friends are playing.
September 24th at Distortion Live Music Venue. For anybody who doesn't know, that's where the old Trappin' Gill used to be. It's the Rock Guitar Shelter fundraiser featuring our friends in Aftermarket Interior and the Yankee Gale, as well as some other local acts, Next Day Heroes, The Wells, and Chelsea White. There's going to be some raffles, a 50-50 draw, and a silent auction. All the proceeds, or at least some of the proceeds, I don't really know how this thing's working, but the proceeds are presumably going to the Rock Guitar Shelter. So there's an evening of live entertainment and good shit going on there. So be sure to check it out. That's September 24th at Distortion.
All right, guys and gals, so let's get this show underway. First band we're going to talk about is from right here in Calgary. They're called Torches to Triggers. To date, they've toured both North America and Europe. They've opened up for the likes of The Ataris, Authority Zero, and Strung Out, who are all fantastic bands, by the way. This is off the strength of their 2 releases. First up, they had their 2012 debut, Doomsday in Douglasdale. It's a hardcore punk slap in the face that rips from start to finish. If you haven't already, you definitely need to check that one out. They followed that one up in 2014 with Modern Day Monsters, which is more of a pop-driven effort. Had plenty of hooks that kept me singing along long after the last note is played, so big ups to them. The first track we're going to play by them is called Expect Revolution, and basically you can expect it to blow your lid clean off. Here it is.
Say
So that was Expect Revolution by Torches to Triggers. If you want to hear more of what they've got to offer, check them out at facebook.com/torches to triggers. They've got some more music up there, as well as a few music videos, including one that accompanies the next track that we're about to play called Clay Mines. It was filmed right here in Calgary. They have a few scenes in there where they're playing at the New Black Center, which, if anyone remembers, was a really awesome all-ages music venue that was around back in the day. We played some shows there. I've seen countless other bands perform there. It's a really cool place. So to see that in a local music video was super cool. As I mentioned before, this next track is called Clay Mines. Check it out.
Listeners, do you like loud guitars and PBRs? Then have I got a treat for you. Also, if you don't like loud guitars or PBRs, you might want to find a new podcast. This next band that we're going to showcase is a band called Man Cub from right here in Calgary, Alberta. If you like to go to places like the Night Owl or the Palomino, then you've probably seen them play with other heavy hitters like Kron Goblin, Bison, or Temple, and they even played a show with Stoner Rock Titans Fu Manchu at this year's Sled Island. So you know these guys are a treat for the eyes and the ears. Right now we're going to play for you the title track from their recently released record, Hangman. Here's Hangman by Man Cub. By Man Cub. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check them out at mancub.bandcamp.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/mancubdawsband, and that's MANCUBDASB B-A-N-D for both of those addresses. Now, if you're in town November 13th, you should definitely be at the Night Owl, because Man Cub will be playing with Kron Goblin for the release show for those guys' next release called Backwater. You know, that night is going to be filled with all of your favorite things, like loud guitars, PBRs, maybe some devil's lettuce if that's what you're into. Anyways, here's the second track from Hangman. This is called Young Gun. So we just got word that the Deer Kills are on their way to Pirate Life Studios, so we're going to have a chat with them in just a sec. But to get you all geared up for the Deer Kills, we're going to play you one of their tracks off of their EP, Dirty Nasty. This one is called Black Magic. It's a pretty rad track.
Fun fact for you, it's probably my favorite track off of the CD, so get your ear pussies ready, because they might not be walking after this one, ladies and gents.
Here we go. We'll be right back.
the deer kills.
And you're listening to
Pirate
Life
Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pirate Life Studios, Deer Kills. Why don't we get some introductions going? Tell everybody who you are. First,
I'm Rebecca Ravis, and I play bass guitar and do vocals in the Deer Kills.
My name's Aaron Burr. I shred the guitar and sing in the Deer Kills.
And who are we missing here today?
Greg,
our giant drummer.
Oh, Greg.
We could pretend to be him.
No.
All right, well, welcome to the studio, ladies. As far as I know, we're coming up on the 2-year bandiversary of the Deer Kills.
That's true.
Why don't you guys give us a brief rundown of the last 2 years for you guys?
It all started when I moved back from BC, and Rebecca and I were both pretty hammered in a parking lot of a venue, and we both kind of had come from a background of playing acoustic music, and we really wanted to do something with a bit more balls, I'd say, something a bit more loud and fun, high energy. So we kind of made a pact to start a band. We did a little spit handshake, and from there, we just started jamming and recruited Greg, our giant drummer, into the mix. And we've been really busy ever since then.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like it hasn't even been, like, 2 years.
It just flew by.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I thought you guys were coming up on 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But turns out it's 2.
We're older.
Oh.
Time just flies. How did you guys meet Greg? How did he come into the mix?
Well, Greg and I had been friends for a while before that, and him and I used to play in a like folk project together. So he did drums for me when I did my acoustic music. So we kind of just roped him into it because we had really good playing chemistry before that. So
roped him
in there.
That's what you do in Red Deer. You just wrangle things together, right?
We threatened him.
You threatened the world's tallest man.
Pretty yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we keep talking about how tall he is. How tall is he?
6'8".
6'8", that's like inexact.
Yeah.
That's not just exaggerating.
He'd be proud to tell you that he's 6'8", yeah.
He's 6'8", and built like a fucking tree.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, in your promo pictures, like,
he towers.
He is a towering individual, so.
Yeah, people are always like, are you guys bending down to the picture? It's like, no.
No, we're just.
We're actually just that much shorter.
We're average height, though. Greg's just a beast, that's all.
That's very true. So you guys said you've been pretty busy since then. What are some of the things that you've been busy with?
Well, our first year, we got our EP done, our flat track EP. So,
Dirty Nasty?
Yeah, our EP Dirty Nasty. So we were busy doing that throughout the winter, and then we did a big CD launch in the spring. And kind of just playing little shows around, I guess, Central Alberta, so Red Deer, Edmonton, Calgary, and all those kind of places. And then through the summer, we've both mostly just been playing Red Deer, and then this fall, we're going to be hitting the road and take the music a little bit further than Alberta.
Nice. How excited are you guys for that?
We're stoked. We leave in a few days, and we're shitting our pants a little bit, but there's lots to do still, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, we're, like, what, 3 days left till you guys leave?
Yeah.
And there's still lots to do?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Procrastination at its finest.
Well, that's a pretty common trait.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Musicians.
Yeah, it just seems like even though we've done a lot of things to prepare, there's still lots to do. Always,
oh, yeah, you never feel 100% ready.
Definitely not.
So how far is this tour taking you guys?
Out to Ottawa.
Out to Ottawa?
Out to Ottawa.
Right.
Well, I think we're playing 10 shows, right?
Yep.
Okay,
10 shows, 14 days.
10 shows in 14 days, that's pretty good. I think Through Tragedy did 10 shows in like 29 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're pretty excited. Well, we only have 1 day off, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1 day we have off is in Toronto, so we're planning to just do some chilling out and sightseeing. But the rest of the time is just, yeah, shows and driving, pretty much. So. Yeah.
Nice. And how did you guys get this tour set up?
A lot of Facebook messaging and emails. Aaron did a lot of the booking. It was just really hard to find, it was actually pretty easy to find bands like everywhere else, but Toronto was, I think, the most difficult, but we ended up finding like some pretty cool bands to play with.
Yeah, we're really pleased. We have 2 local acts on every show we're playing just to kind of make sure we get maximum turnout, but yeah, that was, yeah, we just messaged 1,000 bands and hope that someone got back to us and was free on that day, and yeah, just a lot of networking. Yeah.
It's a lot of just being like really real too. Like if you message somebody and just like are super nice, like it's really a turn off to get an email that's like super serious and you're just being like kind of like a dink about it. But we have a really good way of like being personable with people, so it's just really easy for us, I think, to...
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and you guys have definitely been, like, it's... I don't think it's ever been hard for you guys to get shows at home.
No, definitely not. That's the difference, though. Like, usually around Alberta, people just ask us to play shows, but we had to hustle and look for the shows on the road. So that was the challenge, but it's been really rewarding, and we know in the future when we're trying to go across Canada again, it's going to be a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. Networking like that really helps out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be, like, this is mainly, I think, like... The biggest benefit is, like, the networking part. Like, exactly. We're going to meet so many people. That's usually
how it is for a band's first tour, especially, like, Canada's a huge country. You're going that far away, you don't really know anybody until you get there, right?
Yeah,
that should be pretty cool. How are you guys making the trek? What's the vehicle of choice for this jaunt?
Toyota 4Runner.
Oh, yeah, SUV style?
Yeah, Greg has a really great, reliable SUV, and then we're renting a cargo trailer, and then...
Putting a bed in the trailer.
Yeah, we just got these really big road cases made, so it will support a bed, but we'll be greasing it the whole way and sleeping in the trailer. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Greasing it.
So there's going to be room for your gear and a bed in this trailer.
It's pretty big, hey? And then we'll just cycle.
You're going to sleep in the cargo trailer?
I know, yeah.
Like, the thing with the... You pull the thing down, there's no light or air that gets into it?
No air. That's why I'm not sleeping in there. We're the claustrophobic. I'm sleeping
and
in the truck.
Rebecca has bad gas, so we don't want her in there.
Fuck you, I don't. All the time.
Awesome. Now, you guys did a campaign of some sort, right? Like a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo to help finance this tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did that work? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It was good. At first of all, we were trying to raise money for like an actual like a camping trailer, because that's what we were going to tow all the way to Toronto. But then we just ended up not being able to find kind of like something reliable enough that wouldn't crumble up. on the highway on us.
It did crumble. The ones we looked at.
The one we actually looked at.
We like hammered on it and like wood chips just fell out of it. So
always a good sign.
In our price range we couldn't afford that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely not.
So, cool.
So yeah.
No, that's awesome. And so we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, Dirty Nasty, your EP. That came out in April, was that?
Yeah.
So where'd you guys record that? And kind of like, what was that experience like?
The Rory Burnett Studios.
Yeah.
All right, who's Rory Burnett?
He's our wizard friend that does all of our recording. So we actually track the drums when we do record with him. He likes to track them in like a big open room kind of thing. So we've done them at the courthouse in Red Deer. Greg already has such a huge, like giant drum sound. But Rory likes to even build on that because we're a three-piece and he likes to really fill out the sound with Greg's drums. So we... The first, for Dirty Nasty, I think for the most part we did the drums in the vat, actually. When no one was in there, we just tracked in that big empty room.
Nice.
And then everything else, guitar and everything, we tracked at his house, vocals, we did at his house.
Which was really sweet, because, like, it's really nice to record with somebody that's not, like, rushing you.
No.
Like, putting you under pressure. So it's just, like, really comfy. Like, I felt just, like...
He has a cool dog. He's just as chill as we are, cracking dick jokes all the time. Letting us drink beers.
I can testify that cool animals at the studio definitely make a big difference.
Yeah.
When Bad Animal went and recorded, there was a cat that just hung out outside of the studio.
Yeah.
Every band that recorded there gave him a different name. We called him Droolin' Stew. Because you pick him up and pet him. Like, seriously, just the friendliest cat ever. You pick him up and pet him, and he'd start to drool.
Oh.
And then we ended up saying that this cat was a reincarnated blues player from, like, the 30s. Droolin' Stew.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. We all did.
Yeah. Magic.
But, yeah, being comfortable at the studio definitely makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really great.
Right on. Well, speaking of the Dirty Nasty EP, we listened to a track from that.
Yeah.
What's next on
the you know what? John? Let's play the title track, Dirty Nasty,
right.
Off of Dirty Nasty by The Deer Kills.
And I can see it in your wall. I know.
That was Dirty Nasty, the title track off of the Dirty Nasty EP. So I'm just kind of curious about how you guys write your songs. Is it individual? You guys write it on your own and then bring it to the table? Do you write in a room all together?
We pretty much tag team it, I'd say.
Yeah, we tag team it all the way.
All the way.
No, normally we actually do write separate things and then we bring it together. Like, if, like, Erin has a riff, she'll, like, bring it to jam, and we'll just kind of build on it, or, like, if somebody has, like, lyrics to something, or, like, even a whole song, we'll just, like, just bring whatever ideas we have, and if we're stoked on it, we all jam, kind of thing, so, and we've actually, I think we've only written, like, one song all together.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, same room kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that's a good point.
Which song is that? Do you remember?
Is it Monster?
Lay It On Me, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Lay It On Me. That'll be on our full-length album, but... Yeah, that's a good point. Usually it's separate components that come together at jam kind of thing.
Okay, cool. And then so your full length, is that's something that's in the works right now? Or
yeah, when we're back from tour, we're going to take the winter to kind of just hide away and write a full length album. And we're hoping by like spring, summer, next year kind of thing, we'll have more music. Full length album,
yeah.
Anyway.
Sweet.
More music recorded, that is. But yeah.
Do you guys think you're going to go with, what was it, Rory Burnett?
Yeah.
Is that going to go with him again?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. You've heard it here first, I'm sure. as far as recordings that you already have out that are released, do you guys have any, like, favorite tunes of your own?
I don't know. Every time we jam, I'm like, this is my favorite song. This is my favorite song. Like, I have yet to have a song that...
Or I guess maybe two kind of... separate things, a favorite song, a favorite recording, and then maybe is that different from your favorite songs to play live?
Our newest recording of Animal in the Light, it's called, that one's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Or even our newest, like, we re-recorded our track Monster, and we kind of, I don't know, we changed it a little bit and built on it a bit, and that's probably my favorite so far.
I think it is too, especially to play. I love playing
that
song. Me too.
I think that song, like, our old one versus our new one, it really shows the growth of how much we've changed over the year, because that was one of our first songs that we wrote. And to play, that's probably our favorite as well, because it's just that one track that, like, every single person in the audience just bangs their head to. It's just, like, slow, it's, like, sludgy, it's filthy, it's awesome.
Just, like, get into it, like, so much. And it's
just
totally.
Like, down here, Is that the one?
Exactly.
Lower, sleazier.
It's totally sleazy, but you can tell, like, that's probably the crowd favorite, because everyone just...
I don't think they expect it from us. That's
not at all.
Like, it's just like, what?
Like, we dropped into like a pretty low tuning and just give it to them, and it's
we're already half a step down, and then we tuned down to like
C sharp. And for us, that's pretty low.
Yeah,
like,
cool. I know you guys are, at least you, Aaron, are kind of a gear nerd, like Kyle and myself.
I'm like a gear retard, actually. I kind of just plug things in and play and hope they work out.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm slowly learning how to be a gear nerd, but I think Aaron...
To someone that isn't paying attention, it looks like you got a lot going on.
I agree.
On stage.
Yeah, totally.
You gotta act like you know.
So, yeah, I was just kind of curious if, like, the effects you guys are running.
Yeah.
Any favorite pedals you're using now?
My favorite right now, I'm constantly expanding and building on my pedal board as well as my amp rig. I'm kind of, unfortunately, touching on, like, bi-amping and all that fun stuff.
Right.
So, I have kind of plans to add a second amp to my rig soon here, as soon as I figure out what kind of tone I want from it. But, right now, I probably am digging, like, the Electro Harmonix Pitchfork is probably one of my favorite. It's kind of like a POG octave pedal, but...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it
actually keeps popping up on my YouTube ads for it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. I almost like the sound of it a little bit better, and I just use it to, like, pop into an octave. Like, it plays what I play and then an octave above, so it it cuts above the bass tone and gives us that one more layer of sound. So I really like it for that reason. It adds just a certain sound that I'm really fond of. And then I'm also, my number one favorite is probably always the Electro Harmonix Freeze pedal as well. You can create some pretty ambient stuff to it, and we don't have too much of that going on, but for the parts that you really need that kind of ambient swell, it works really well for that. So
what does that pedal do?
It just freezes a signal in a certain, like, you would strum a chord, say, and just hit the switch at that time, and it just freezes that note, so you can kind of build on that. Or a lot of people will use it with a volume pedal and kind of swell it, so you can create those like that kind of ambient noise. But it's so cool. I love it. It's even cool for practice.
Like, I was gonna say, like, could you like say play like an E major chord, freeze it, and then like practice your E major scale?
You definitely could.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, I've used it for that too.
I need something like that.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's good for that, and I just like using it live. It adds a really, really cool sound. So
we should just be endorsed by Electro
Harmonix. I know. Everything I said was Electro Harmonix.
Well, Electro Harmonix.
They're the tits,
if
they're
you're
awesome.
Somehow listening, you know, get on
anybody
it.
Involved.
Well, I legit have one pedal, and I've never really wanted to have anything else except for the Pitchfork, because I thought it was awesome. It just, like, blends everything so nice compared to any other octave pedal I've used or tried.
Cool.
But I just have, like, my Big Muff, like, for my bass, and it's just, like, I've never wanted... Like, I'm like, this is good. I don't really need anything else. I want other stuff, but it's just, like, it's just good the way it is.
For what we do, it works.
It's awesome. So,
we like Electro Harmonix.
We like
Cool.
Electro.
All right, what about, can either of you two speak for Greg?
Greg loves...
About his gear?
Yeah, Greg actually just updated his cymbal rig. So, Greg just dropped a bunch of money on a bunch of really awesome... He got, like, a new crash and a bunch of other things. But Greg is, probably the most immaculate with all of the, like, all of his gear. Like, Greg will spend hours tuning before every show. Like, his drum kit sounds amazing. Like,
it's not even being biased, it's just
I've never heard a kit sound that good. Like, he'll get on a kit at first, maybe at, like, an open jam or something, and hit it, and the toms almost sound like cardboard, and then, like, just hitting boxes, and then he'll just tune it, and he's so good with that. It, like, he makes notes almost out of the way he tunes his drums. But he really, I think Mapex, he really loves. He loves Pearl as well. And also Sabian is his main jam. He just bought a bunch of new Sabian cymbals they add so much to it. So, yeah, he just expanded his cymbal rig as well.
See, I've always found that such an abstract thing about drums. Like, I remember playing shows with Ryan Coos, drummer 36. We used to play with him a lot. And he was like learning how to tune drums, and it just seemed so abstract to me.
That's a thing.
Compared to tuning,
yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like especially compared to tuning a guitar. Like yeah. You tune a guitar to a note, you hit the note yeah. that you want, you go up or down, and boom, you're that's there. It. And then tuning a yeah. drum, like it always seemed really bizarre to
no
me.
No doubt.
So.
Yeah, there's no like Boss TU-2 pedal out there for your drum kits.
But they do have certain tools for it, actually.
There are like there's drum dials that you can get. And...
See, I am completely ignorant to.
Not a lot of people use them. Like, people maybe use them when they're beginning, but Greg just tunes by ear, and he tunes to what kind of sounds best.
I think a lot of drummers do. I don't...
Totally.
Well, and he's
it's a very personal thing.
Obviously so good at it, because every time we jam, we just look at him, and, like, every time we jam, I'm just like, Aaron, Greg is so awesome! Like, every time. He just has such a good ear for, like, his setup, and it's just
totally.
Like, oh.
It makes our job a lot easier. It's almost like the way he tunes, too, really complements our sound, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The drums add a lot, especially in his cymbal work. As we mentioned, we're a three-piece, and we're always doing what we can to beef up our sound, and his cymbal work is always, mm-hmm. like...
Well, Greg comes from a metal background.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, like, because it's really cool, because he is, like, he's more metal, but what he plays is, like, so... I think that's what makes us more unique, is because we all come from different backgrounds, and Greg is such a... Like, a lot of people I don't think would get or, like, understand, like, how that would fit with us kind yeah. of thing, but it just works so well.
He's almost adapted it into his own, like, fusion of raw slash. He still uses double kicks and everything.
I was actually just going to mention that as somebody who's seen you guys live a few times now. He sneaks in some double kick rolls and stuff like yeah. that, and I was pretty impressed by the way that he uses them, because it's tasteful. It's not like overbearing. Like,
no.
You can tell that all this guy wants to do is play blast beats. He throws in a little bit of flashes here and there, and it works really well.
Exactly. Yeah. That being said, though, like it's cool that he's adapted his style for our music, but when you hear Greg practicing too, like, dude's a monster. Like, it's just unreal the kind of
stuff.
Well,
he is 6'8".
Yeah, it's just crazy how fast and technical he can play. So, it's cool how he's adapted that, like, almost, like, robotic fast style to more of, like, the groove and beat
that
we have.
Oh, just even over the time that from when we started
totally.
To now, his style has changed even just like...
So much.
So
night
much.
And day. Yeah.
So much.
I think that was probably a big challenge for him too, coming from like hard, like just crazy metal that he came from and then playing rock and roll. That would be hard for anyone to kind of
adapt
to that.
Did you guys have to like really push for him to get into it, or was he actually really into playing that style? Because a lot of people who play like, you know, like really fast, crazy technical metal and stuff, they don't usually want to slow down.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't know. I don't really...
I think, well, we've had that in jams a few times where, like, we just tell them to slow down because out of habit.
Yeah, we just tell them to have more, like,
just
groove.
Feel it
just
out
more feel,
yeah.
You know what? It's just, like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, just, like, metal, it has feel, but it's not the feel that, like, we're going for. I think
yeah,
that's
it's
just,
a
like,
different style. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, so that's what the only thing that we really had to tell him.
But,
yeah.
like, what I'm asking is, did was he really eager to, like, play this kind of style, or did you guys have to talk him into it?
No, I don't think so. I think we asked him once to jam, and then after that, it just worked out so well.
Yeah, I think he was just equally as stoked.
He was into it. That's
totally.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, as far as, like, influences go, what influences you as both a guitar player and a bass player? And then, aside from that, just... Even if it doesn't necessarily influence the Deer Kill sound, what are you listening to? Like, what are the bands that you're just rocking all the time lately?
I think our band influences, we all adore, like, Jack White, White Stripes, anything Jack White does, we love.
Oh, that's a big thing in Bad Animal, too.
Yeah.
The guitarist, Merrick.
He's just so badass.
We
Isn't
love
he
it.
Such
yeah.
a character?
Who doesn't want to be Jack White?
I know.
He's just amazing.
We adore Jack White. We love Wolf Mother. Priestess.
Mm-hmm. You guys have done Wolf Mother and Priestess.
Totally,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's like a show. It's like
we love that shit. Like I don't know. Like, I know Rebecca's like, you love like Kings of Leon and stuff like that.
Oh, right? Just like, well, that's why. Like, I used to play. Like, I played a lot of acoustic guitar and just guitar before, but like, I love bass, and like, that's why I love Kings of Leon, because of like every bass line and every song is like amazing. That's like. Just like where my heart is, I think it's just
big
like
influence.
It just like it makes you feel like so much,
totally.
And like that's why I think, like that's what I feel like when I write for our stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I want it to be like that, like the totally. Feel. It's like totally just like...
memorable and yeah. like making a connection.
Totally,
that's,
yeah.
You know, that's so a cool. really awesome thing yeah. to, yeah. Totally. To strive for. Especially in a, you know, like a bass for a lot of bands can be a pretty back burner thing. Like,
it's, yeah, it's so prominent in our music. So it's just as, like, it's equivalent to a lead guitar almost in our
music.
Well,
that's the
so.
Thing that bugs me. Sometimes people are just like, why are you playing just bass guitar? I'm like, what the
Have
what
you heard
you
the bass lines?
Have you even heard the bass lines?
You don't know.
I put some blood, sweat, and tears into this shit.
They don't know. Really? When people ask if, like, we can jam and someone can just fill in for Rebecca, like, it doesn't work that way. It just, like, we flail and we don't have Rebecca. So, in terms of music that, like, I know for a fact we're all always bumping. I don't know why my life has led me to this, but I'm listening to so much, like, mostly rap right now, and, like, hip-hop.
I was going to guess. Like, I don't know where it goes.
I don't know where it came from, but also so much, like, it seems like female-fronted, almost, like, drum and bass, or not female vocal, like, drum and bass and, like, pop music.
Right.
It's all I listen to right now for some reason.
What were you listening to?
I love Churches.
Churches,
like,
yeah.
Churches.
Oh, Churches, they're yeah. pretty deadly.
I yeah. fucking love them. So, Churches, I love, like, Haim right now. A lot of...
Oh, Haim is...
They're the tits.
They're
so
cool.
good. Any... I don't know why. Just a lot of, like, girl-fronted music right now.
That's stuff that's,
Could
like, yeah,
be?
Really, like...
Maybe because you're a female?
You know, it might be. No. I don't know.
Is there some connection there, or am I just grasping it?
You know, I don't know. I've never really thought about that.
I think it's the feel. I think those bands especially have, like, a really, like...
They have, it's like a poppy, like...
It's like, you just want to, like, move. It's,
totally.
Like, hard not to, like...
So that's definitely influenced, like, no spoilers right now, but our music to come in the future will be influenced by a lot of that. We won't really say much else, but... Yeah, we
Element
hope.
Of surprise.
Element of surprise, but we'll be changing up our sound a little bit in that regard as well in the near future. So,
awesome.
Rad.
Speaking of female connection, I don't really know how to ask this, like, very specifically, but have you guys encountered any weird or funny problems being females in a music scene?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask something totally different.
Do you guys shower together?
Do?
And yes, we
Well,
do.
I already know you do.
It's obvious.
Nothing really weird. I find just, like, it shows sometimes. Just, like, we get a lot of, like...
We almost get judged before we play our music.
Always.
It's just, like, almost, like, especially from bigger bands, it seems almost. Like, we get up and set up our shit, and it's almost just this, like... I don't know what it is, but I
think they expect you to suck. Or
yeah,
something?
And then, but honestly, like this, it's we're not even just making that up. It's just we get that a lot after we play shows. People come up and they're like, "Yeah, we saw you guys go on," and we're like, "Oh, great, another girl with a guitar." But you guys slayed, and I'm like, "Why? Why did you have that thought?"
It's
like,
because we're girls, and like every time, I think it's well,
totally.
We also wear like the bodysuits, right?
So we don't wear a lot of clothes when we play. So
well, yeah, that was gonna be my next question.
So of course, like we don't. I mean, a lot of people. Like, we'll come watch just because we, you know, like, our asses are showing or whatever. But a lot of people will stay based on, yeah, like, honestly, we just use that, like, we like, I don't know, people are interested when they see that kind of uniform. So they come and watch and then we make them stay for the music. But that's, I think, the biggest thing is that maybe because of our stage costumes or, like, what we look like or... Like
just we always get but I think that's a good thing because
totally.
People always think we're gonna suck.
Can you blow
and
them
girls
away?
Are always like, oh my god, like
who are these?
Who
bitch?
Are these
girls?
Sluts think they are?
They're
but
not even that good.
But then
like,
we play and like it's not even just like I'm not even trying to sound like a dick, but we're actually good. And then it's like that, it's like the shock factor. And
totally.
I think it's just that's the main thing we get. It's like people prejudge us and it's like. People just think we're going to suck.
Totally.
But we actually put a lot of work
in. At the end of the day, though, you know, as long as you just let the music speak for itself.
100%.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't need to fight to win them over. When they hear us play, they're like, okay.
So that being said, was it a hard decision to kind of, like, be, a, like, a little bit more... Like, I don't know how to say this without sounding awkward, but, like, you know, to, like, try and, like, I don't know, like...
Girls
you know,
make
no,
me awkward.
No, not slutty, but, like, sexy, or, like... Like, was it hard? Like, were you guys like, oh, should we do this? Like, is this going to hurt us?
No, the first time, I remember the first time we ever wore, like, no pants. Like, we just wore this, like, gold bodysuit that Aaron got online. And I remember I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Our CD release. But I was like, honestly, this is so different. Like,
and freeing. It was just like,
We don't like pants anyway. Like, that's the thing.
No
one likes pants.
They're restricting, honestly, like, our power kick game and our stage, like, jumping game has, improved tenfold since we started wearing the bodysuits. We wear them also, like, this sounds so dumb, but we wear them for comfort, too. Like, those things are so comfy to wear. We feel, like, really confident and sexy in them, and that goes a long way when you're playing on stage. And
you feel good, you play good.
Exactly. Feel good, look good, play good. So, we wore them for our CD release, and then...
It's just been a thing ever since.
It caught on, like, seriously, though, like, wildfire. Like, everyone that, like, promotes our music is like, these girls are awesome, and they wear bodysuits or whatever. Like it's all just, right, I guess it's almost just like... Now. So now we've ordered the most ridiculous ones, like, Baywatch bodysuits. We got, like, Chicago Bulls bodysuits. Like,
I back that.
It's really fun to see what kind of
it's
ridiculous...
It's just fun. It's just fun. And, like, yeah, I feel sorry for people that just, like... don't think it's fun. Like, I don't know.
We love fun. And honestly, this
sounds... an image is, it can be a big thing.
Totally.
You know, like, it helps to look unified at the very least.
100%. And when we have those outfits picked out, like, we don't have to stress about what we're wearing when we play. Like, we just pick out our bodysuit and that's it. Like,
just throw it on.
And that's it. It's so easy.
Done.
And it helps people remember you, too.
Exactly.
Like, and that's a big thing for an up-and-coming band.
Exactly.
Because everybody's fighting for so much... of people's time, and people seem to have so much less and less time to actually, like, pay attention to things, to remember things.
Yeah.
So the longer lasting image you have in people's head is definitely
going
to help you out
in the
long run.
Like, all the bands that I really love, they have that one memorable thing, like, that you have to have something different.
Yeah.
Like, you could be amazing, but if you're, like, boring to watch, or if there's nothing different, like, sitting
no
apart from, like,
presence.
Any other really good band, like, you know, you're not going to get as far.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We've kind of talked about, like, our career plan and, like,
we're going big.
Yeah,
we're going to the big leagues,
yeah.
And we want to do everything we can to set us apart from every other band.
That's
so.
The biggest thing is being different from everybody else.
Exactly.
All right. With that much said, should we listen to one more track from the Dirty Nasty EP?
Actually, you know what? We're gonna play an older song just because it's my favorite song. But I really dig Animal in the Lights, so that's what we're gonna play.
All right. Here's Animal in the Lights.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Animal in the Lights by The Deer Kills. So, we've been through a lot of the interview now. We've heard a lot about what you guys have done. What is next for The Deer Kills after this big tour?
Oh, man. Well, we're going to write over winter.
Sweet.
So, mainly, we're just going to, like, kind of, like, hide away from the world for a bit and just, like, work on our album.
Like, is it going to be, like, a no-show policy, or is it going to be, like, a, we'll play the show if the show is right? Or
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Well, we're going to try not to play, but if there's a show, like, if we love a band that's coming through and we're asked to play, we're going to play it, but we're not going
to
go out.
It's always hard to turn down a good show, even if you're supposed to be hibernating.
Yeah. So, if that event arises, we're going to play, but mainly going to just be working on new stuff.
We just want to come out of hibernation in the spring and just be, like, a million times better than we were before and just blow everyone out of the fucking water and be like, this is what we are now, and then hit the road again in the summer. And next summer we hope to do, like, cross Canada, like, west to east coast kind of thing, so a little bit bigger than what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So we want to kind of – we still want to evolve our sound a little bit more, and we're still a young band, so we're still figuring that out a bit. But, yeah, as we mentioned prior, we have some ideas on how we want to kind of change and evolve our sound a bit. So that's the main thing, writing new songs,
getting a little bit tighter, growing the chemistry.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Winter's a great time to do that.
Totally.
Because nobody wants to do fucking anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fucking winter wonderland here. We can't go outside and do anything.
Mm-hmm. Best memory 2 years ago when we first started the band was, like, probably the best winter I've ever experienced.
Totally.
Because we were just together, and, like, you're inside all winter long.
Wrote songs?
Like, yeah.
We almost froze to death taking promo photos in the snow.
40 below.
So it'd be like a revisit of that experience, but now with a little bit of growth, a little bit of momentum behind you, and with some bigger, better dreams to fuel the whole thing, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of you talked about the promo photos, and I know you've always been big into photography and everything. So how does that, like, that kind of come into play? You basically kind of handle all of that yourself?
Yeah, I've always been really keen on marketing. And to me, honestly, in this day and age, your marketing and your online presence is every bit as important as the music almost. So honestly, like, it's so much about marketing. So I always want to make sure our page and our website, everything is just super clean. We always, like, I'm always bugging the guys to do fresh new photos, although I don't think they mind too much. We love doing photo shoots, and it's nice too because we save a lot of money not having to hire someone to do all of, like, our poster work and all of our design work.
Oh, you guys take care of that yourself, eh?
Yeah, so that was, like, a bonus of us booking tour. Like, we did all of the posters and all the design work for tour. We do all of our own shirt design.
I must say, the poster that you guys drew up for it, very nice.
Thank you.
Actually, a lot of the promotional work has been, like, yeah, it's clean. It looks well done. It's, you know, it's better than a lot of bands trying to make it out on their first tour.
Well, I think that's a huge thing, right? It's just, like, just the way you present yourself is just a huge part of
exactly.
Being look good, feel good, play good, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and it is, like, the market plan. If you don't have a good plan, if you don't have a good look, if you don't, you know, market yourself properly, you're not going to do very well.
And it sucks, but, like, if some, maybe, like, a bigger, like, label person or anyone is looking into our page, before they listen to our music, they're going to click on our page and see what it looks like. If it looks like shit, they're probably not going to listen to it, so I don't
probably
know.
Like, these guys are a bunch of jokers. Exactly. Get them out of here.
It's just like when you and I used to cook, Josh, like, you would see when you're plating things, it's all about the presentation, because you eat with your eyes before your mouth, and that's, I mean, except for your ears with music, I guess, but same thing. It's all about what it looks like before anything else.
It's amazing how fast something like that can turn somebody off, actually.
Exactly,
it's sad, actually.
Totally.
It is. Like, I don't know, because, well, yes, it is, I think, to a degree, because music, you want to think, as, like, a true fan of music should just be about the music. But in the world of
today,
you know, in the world, no, not even the world of today, but just, like, in the, you know, in the world of music as a business, as something, you know, as an art that you can support yourself on, there's a lot of other things that you need to take into account.
Exactly.
Like, good music goes a long way, but will it take you all the way?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're, like, the second coming of Christ on record. Probably not.
But what if we are?
Well,
we could.
Full length. Shooting for Christ on the full length.
Cheers. Is that blasphemous? Shooting for Christ. Can that be our, like, catchphrase?
The title?
The next. Yeah, a nice title.
Your next tour. Shooting for Christ.
Shooting for for Christ.
Cheering for Christ.
Cheering for Christ.
Oh,
awesome.
Dead serious about that.
And then your tour is going to hit Calgary on September 24th.
Yeah,
at
you bet.
The Night Owl.
The Night Owl.
In Calgary here.
Yes, sir.
So this being your first ever tour, I don't know, Kyle, do you have any bits of wisdom for the ladies?
Bring it on.
Any road experience?
You too, Josh.
I got a little bit of wisdom. So public pools are going to be a great place to catch a cheap shower and some relaxing times in a hot tub or a pool. Just being in water is a really nice
thing.
Or
a bladder infection.
What? I've never gotten a bladder infection.
We just had this talk.
We literally just had this talk.
We're avoiding public pools.
Are you kidding? Well, whatever. After that,
right out the gate, just completely void.
Apparently my wisdom is
good. Yeah.
We love your wisdom.
We can cut that out. I want to make you feel like you have
to be. Oh,
so
cutting
things.
Nothing.
So many.
Also, have you seen Reba's hair? Like, this in the pool might fuck up the hair. Well. So.
All right, next point. Walmart parking lots are going to be, especially if you guys are camping in your airless, lightless trailer,
sleep for free.
Will we die in it? Like,
I don't know. I've never slept in one of those. But if you're going to park them somewhere, make it a Walmart parking lot because they do not kick people out of there. You're totally welcome.
We have this, like, propane grill. Will they care if we, like, just grill in the parking
lot? Well, when Through Tragedy went on tour, we used a propane grill in the parking lot. We cooked up some mean steaks.
Yeah, hot dogs.
I say mean because they hurt. But, you know, when you're on tour, that, you know, shit's
luxury.
Still,
the hurt coming in or coming out?
You know, both. It was, yeah.
Bit of both.
Well, medium rare going in and then well done coming out. Is that?
Yeah, exactly. Pee bottles are probably, depending on your timeline, going to be an essential thing.
We're getting she pees.
Yeah.
The she pees.
Yeah. I've heard about those things.
We don't want to dehydrate ourselves on tour, so we're going to funnel piss into bottles.
Yeah, and don't okay, accidentally mistaken a piss bottle for, like, an apple juice or something.
Reba loves apple juice.
I actually hate apple juice.
Okay, we're good then.
Joke's on you.
Next thing. Pee bottles? Booze sales before tour. I know it's like 2 or 3 days before you guys leave, but if there's a sale on at your local liquor depot or anywhere, jump on that shit because booze is exponentially more expensive in every other province than Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
What we did was we bought like 48 cases of beer or something, and
you've seen the picture.
Jesus. One thing you're going to have to be careful of, I'm sure your 4Runner has better AC than the Through Tragedy Tour van did. Because our beer turned into tea. We called it tea beer because that was the temperature we had it at. Also, we were in the summer. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit more forgiving for you guys. But anyways, capitalize on sales.
Okay.
Car wash. Do you guys have a roadie? Is anybody coming on tour with you guys?
We tried, but no one wanted to.
Oh, shit.
That's a lie. So many people wanted to. We're just...
I know.
Very picky.
Yeah, well, kind of.
Oh, it's hard. You need somebody that you can trust.
We just don't have any room. Greg is huge.
Yeah.
We literally have
but
no room.
But 4Runner's got like 4 seats and a back.
But Greg.
Greg.
Yeah. That's right. He is a giant.
Everything Greg's.
All right, well, I was going to say if you had a roadie, a car wash is a great place to rinse off the roadie.
The roadie?
Yeah, we did that Through Tragedy. Kale, if you're listening, we love you.
Love you so much, you got put through that.
He got actually
Also,
got
are you guys playing Thunder Bay?
Yes.
Oh, shit. All right. So when you get there, pimp your shit at the mall, but make sure a thunderstorm isn't rolling in.
We got so many
people stoked on our show out there, and then a thunderstorm so gnarly rolled in. It was so gnarly that it actually took a piece of the roof off of the local airport. Nobody came to our show. We had like 5 or 10 people. It was awesome.
Is
like
that
we had a great
it's called
time.
Thunder
Bay? Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, we learned some very valuable lessons there. So be very wary of thunderstorms in Thunder Bay.
But pimp your shit out at local malls and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. Go
what
anywhere
does that
if you've got if you like, basically if you've got any
flyer your shows to kids that are just
we are gonna wear our bodysuits. We've already planned this. We're gonna wear our bodysuits and like run around like the most populated areas.
And be like, you gotta come
to the show.
That's perfect. Get
the promoters of the shows to print handbills to hand out to people, because that gets people really jacked. Honestly, any spare moment that you can do that, do that up.
Kay.
Also, Ryan Coos, if our listeners remember Ryan Coos, dear friend of the show, drummer from 36.
Yo, Ryan.
He's been on several tours now, and he's got some very sagely advice.
Oh, he only sent some in, did he?
Oh, he did. Ryan was going to join us tonight, but he was so hungover from the weekend that that was just not going to be a thing. So he sent us this message. On tour, it is completely acceptable to take a full body shower under a gas station sink / beside foot tap. Oh, sorry, beachside foot tap. It's completely acceptable to eat food outside off of a trash can if the venue's kitchen is closed.
Oh my God.
I've actually witnessed that myself.
From Ryan?
Yeah, we went and got some food at a 7-Eleven, and the trash can was definitely our dinner platter. You can sleep on lawn furniture outside of Walmart. We already went over that.
Okay.
Completely acceptable to watch porn in the motel bathroom if you take turns.
Perfect.
If you guys get a motel for watching porn.
What about the trailer, though? Let's have a cycle through there. Or?
Well, that's kind of, like, more personal, up to you guys. But, right. Yeah. Oh, also, completely acceptable to poop your pants anywhere.
Of course Ryan would say that.
Yeah, of course, our previous listeners will remember that was his move in London.
Right.
Anyways, completely acceptable to poop your pants anywhere you desire, as long as you play it cool. If you don't play it cool, not cool to poop your pants.
I don't smell anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
And Ryan's last piece of advice for all y'all is it's completely acceptable to drink until everybody hates you, especially you.
Oh, good.
If you drink until you hate yourself, you are doing tour correctly, according to Ryan.
That's me. I already have so much Fireball, like... You don't have any idea.
You don't know what I got.
I apologize in advance.
Fuck.
Cool.
And that is Ryan.
Awesome.
Ryan Coos and Kyle Gritchen's tips for a successful tour.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well.
That was nice. The poop the pants one was the best.
were you guys taking notes or?
Poop my pants anywhere.
Mental notes.
Mental notes.
All right. Cool. So again, the Deer Kills are playing at the Night Owl here in Calgary on September 24th. And if you want, you can check out the rest of the dates. Where?
Facebook?
What's the best spot to check that out?
Facebook?
Facebook.com/...
The Deer Kills.
The Deer Kills, super simple.
It's right on our cover photo. We got all our tour dates listed.
Okay, wait. So. Is it Deer Kills like D-E-A-R?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Like Deer Sweet Baby Angel Deer, yes.
All right, and quick question. Where did that name come from? Because that is random as fuck to me.
Well, our first name was Foxjaw.
That's right.
So we had to change it because there's a band in Ireland with the same name that messaged us. Yeah.
They didn't like that.
Them guys. Cool. No, yeah. They were like threatening to like sue us and stuff. So
across the ocean.
Yeah. And then the band actually...
Indian
Handcrafts. They actually had the same name too. They were actually also called Foxjaw. We played with them in Red Deer, and so anyways, we came up with this name because it was just we wanted something edgy but also like sweet. I don't know. It was just kind of like something that kind of I don't know.
Just felt right.
Just felt right. Yeah, and it was just like just what kind of came up. We're like, that's actually pretty freaking cool, and I don't know.
We thought of like a million
almost a bit of a reference to Red Deer. I know it's spelled differently, but yeah. I mean, did that come into play?
But as it kind of backfires too, because everyone spells our name wrong because we are from Red Deer. Everyone spells it like just D-E-R.
The Red Deer Kills.
Actually, at our EP release, they had put on like our YouTube channel from The Deer Kills, but YouTube just kept cycling videos. And apparently while we were playing, there were all these like brutal hunting videos playing with people like wasting deers and like taking deers down. So it kind of like bit us in the ass a little bit. We didn't even see it, but there was like gruesome hunting like footage going on during our
race.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
So it's not related to
that. All right. Okay. So to be clear, that's facebook.com/thedeer, D-E-A-R, Kills. Otherwise, you will find videos of Bambi being shot to death. So,
no!
I mean, if that's what you're into, you probably have already searched it.
Yeah, so you know.
You know what's up.
Yeah,
all right, so What was that date again, Josh?
September 24th at the Night Owl here in Calgary.
With Grandola and West Set Mindset?
Midwest Mindset.
I don't know anything.
I'm calling them that from now on.
Very badly prepared. I can't even do English. Very...
English is hard.
Poorly
prepared.
It's cracking a clock for Kyle.
Yeah, it's definitely cracking a clock.
Definitely time to wrap up this interview. So thanks so much, guys, for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
For the second episode of Pirate Life Radio, we really appreciate you guys coming down from Red Deer to talk with us.
Good luck on the tour.
Good luck on the tour.
Try not to shit your pants.
It's inevitable. I think we're doomed.
We're doomed.
You'd be surprised.
All right. And now we're going to leave you with another track from the Deer Kills. And this one is called Monster. Check it out.
That's it for today's episode.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the second episode of Pirate Life Radio. If you like what you heard, give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/Pirate Life Radio.
Also give us a share because sharing is caring. Also, September 24th, Distortion with Rock Guitar Shelter Fundraiser or the Night Owl for the Deer Kills tour show, or go to both if you're thirsty for live music. November 13th at the Night Owl, Crown Goblin, and Man Cub.
Check it out. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye!